your fountain, let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Lord Jesus, Father, we think daily of that great supply. We think daily of this great message, Lord, this great hour, this great unfolding, Lord, that you have brought us into. And Lord, we think of the wedding supper. We think of this great spiritual feast, Lord, that we're partaking of. Lord, as the prophet said, spiritual food in due season. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, no doubt each one of us, as when we were young in the message, Lord, young in Christianity, we thought what a time it would have been to live in the days of Moses. What a time it would have been to live in the days of Elijah. Lord, what a time it would have been to live when you walked upon the earth in the flesh of Jesus Christ. But Lord, what a time it is now. Lord, when we are able, Lord, by revelation, Lord, by the Spirit and by the Word, Lord, to live in your presence, Lord, in the fullness of the Word coming forth. Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, and we want you to kindle that fire daily, Lord. Draw us unto you. Give us revelation, Lord. Lord, just let us see these great things more and greater in every way. And Lord, let us be a light. Let us be a witness, Lord. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel, but Lord, let us speak forth the truth, Lord, boldly and proudly and thankfully, Lord. Lord, may you take the furtherance of this service now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Good to see you. And we thank God and to be here tonight. And we certainly are blessed. And I think that we want to recognize it more and more and more. Amen. And so God is able to do that. He's the one who got it started. And he said that he is the author and the finisher. And so what he started, he's going to finish it. Amen. And what he started in the bride, it doesn't have an end. So he's just going to reveal himself throughout eternity. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. Now I want to get right into the message. Now I got some scriptures tonight I want to insert in here. I left several quotes on Sunday from the message Spiritual Food in Due Season, and I want to read those quotes. I just thought that I would insert some of the quotes here from 1 Kings 17, speaking of Elijah. And so let's begin at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now that takes revelation. Amen. To stand and say those words, you got to have a revelation.
That's right.
And to stand and say what the bride is saying today.
Yes, sir.
The prophet, they asked the prophet a question one time. Can the bride impart eternal life? Or I think it was, he said the bride, or he said, can we, or can a man? And he said, I think he said, I forget how the question was asked, and it just came to me just now, it wasn't pre-planned. So I'm just trying to pull it up. But he said, I think he said the bride can, the elect can. Why? Because eternal life is in her. Amen. And she is speaking eternal life.
Yes.
And so there's two things that's happening. And when you are speaking this revelation, in other words, when you are witnessing to somebody and telling them about what God has done in this day, Amen. And the presence of God today and the kingdom of God today, there's one of two things that's happening. They're either going to recognize it because the seed of eternal life is in them. They're going to recognize that, and that's imparting eternal life. And so, or they're going to reject it. And when they reject it, that is, they're bringing judgment upon themselves. And Brother Branham said, what's happening is they are judging themselves unworthy of eternal life. And so that was the whole purpose. You know, I can remember the first time I heard the title of Is Your Life Worthy? And I thought, is he talking about us doing good deeds? Is he talking about, you know, did you do good enough? Did you do this? I'm thinking, and that's not how he's been teaching it, but this title makes it sound like, are we doing good? Are we being good people? No, that's not what he's talking about at all. What he's talking about is your life worthy. Is your life worthy? Is Christ in you? And if he isn't in you, there's no worthiness there. Because it's his righteousness, it's his perfection, it's his everything. And so it takes Christ. It takes that soul of God in there, the nature of God, to bring forth the presence of God. So here he's saying, there's not going to be rain, there's not going to be dew, there's not going to be nothing until I call for it. And so this is judgment. You can't call it anything else. It's judgment upon Israel for the sins of Israel. So, verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, at the same time that God is bringing judgment, what's he doing? Deliverance. He always has redemption, deliverance for his people. At the same time that he's bringing judgment on the world, he's taking his people into a private place and taking care of them. He's going to feed them. You know the story. He's going to feed them. He's going to give them the drink and the water that they need. See, and for us, we know that is taking place today spiritually. That all of those things, when we read those stories back there, we can relate every single one of them. That's the beauty of reading your Bible today. That's the real beauty of it today, because you're reading about yourself. You're reading. And Brother Branham said, he made that statement somewhere, talking about anything that you're going through. Your hard times, your good times, your problems, whatever situation you're going through, he said you can find it in a character in the Bible. He said you can identify with somebody in there. And he said that's the reason it's there. That's the purpose it's there for. So when you have that issue, then you can look to that and you can take encouragement from that.
Amen.
Now, see, so we know that God's deliverance is always there when judgment comes on. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, I think this is supernatural. Would you consider this supernatural? The ravens are going to feed him. And they're going to feed him. Listen to this. And so he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And so I just, when I was sitting back here a while ago, I was thinking, first of all, about the food. So they're bringing him flesh. And so you could say that these birds killed something and they ripped it apart and they brought him a little piece of meat. And you could look at it like that and think, well, that's not so great. But we don't know. We don't know if this food was cooked. We don't know if it was raw. It doesn't say. It just says flesh.
Right.
But one thing it does say,
right,
is it says bread.
That's right.
And so there ain't nothing you're going to go get bread. Now he's up here somewhere, stealed away, hidden, and there's bread. So we can just assume it's the supernatural hand of God that is making this bread and flesh, and that he's moved upon these birds, these ravens, to bring it to him morning and evening. So that proves there that we can get by on two meals a day. We don't have to have three meals every day, especially in America. It'd be good to get back. So this is a supernatural thing that's happening here. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, there's no doubt here that the same supernatural God could have made that brook continue to bring water forever, just continually all the way through this 3.5 years. The hand of God could have done that. But this is the sovereign God who always has something more. He always has something more that he wants to accomplish. He always has something more that he wants to put on display, that he wants to show his power. So this, he left this in the natural realm, and the water just dwindled down to nothing till it stopped coming because there was no rain. And so then God's going to now come on the scene, and he's going to take the next step. And this is what God does. This is how he does it in our life. Sometimes we'll see something and we look at it as deliverance. We look at it as the thing that we need. And so sometimes we get comfortable right there and we think there's nothing else. God's not stagnant. God's always moving. God's always doing something. So even though he's blessing you right here and he's bringing you through this right here, you can be sure you're not going to sit there too long. He's going to keep moving you and moving you and moving you. That's the leadership of the Holy Ghost. That's what God has wanted. And we've seen it. We see it through the Bible. But that's what God has wanted all along, is a bride that would live upon the earth, that would be in these flesh bodies that fail back there, that he redeemed. Right. And see, and that's why people are trying to make this flesh a glorified body or a theophany, or make it something supernatural. That's coming. God wants that. That's going to be a deliverance in itself. But God first was going to prove to Satan that his spirit and his word, his life, eternal life, was going to dwell in a redeemed people. And that nature of God living in them was going to overcome this flesh. It was going to overcome this flesh. It was going to overcome this world. It was going to overcome this. God was going to prove his power in these bodies that were born by flesh. And so before, and I've told brothers this, I said, before you jump into that theophany, let God first display his power over this. This, he wanted to show himself. He wanted to show Satan that he was going to overcome all of that. See, so it came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Okay, now we're going to get in the message here. Now, we're getting back into the message, spiritual food in due season. This is a great message, just like all messages. I don't have to say anything for it. It speaks for itself. So let me just leave it right there. But where I'm breaking into, because I'm trying to cut some out, because I'd be reading the whole message to you, and sometimes I feel like I read too much, but it just, nobody can say it better than him. He just says it the best. And so we love that, and we get the details like that. But so anyways, they're on the mountain, they're camping, and this is where the blast took place. This was at Sunset Mountain, and we were privileged to go there a couple times. And so there's a big high mountain, and then you come down this rocky crag and you're in a valley, and then in this valley you go over and there's this area, or there's another little mountain ridge there, and this one's higher. And so then this little they come through this valley, then this little mountain that's here, there's like a enclave in the mountain. It's like a little place there, and then it comes out and goes down. And so in this little area here is where they would camp at, where Brother Branham and the brothers there, that's where they would camp at. And so they did that, and so that's where they all were. And they back in those days, you could drive in there, but since those days, the land has been bought by somebody else, and they closed it off. And that's how it was, 10, 15 years ago. I heard from somebody that maybe it's opened again. Somebody else bought it. And so I'm surprised a believer hadn't bought it a long time ago. and made it available to the saints. But anyways, so they were camping there, and so this brother, Douglas McHughes, he was wearing heavy sunglasses, and he had cancer in the eyes and was losing his eyesight. And his mother had tumors on her legs, her feet. And so Brother Branham had been talking to this brother, and the brother came to him, you know, quietly, humbly, and was saying, "Does the Lord ever give you visions out like this?" And Brother Branham said, "Yeah, but I come out here to get away from it. This is, I come to rest." And so they just talked a few minutes, and Brother Branham said, the reason you ask is because that cancer is going to take your eyes." And he said, "That's the truth, Brother Branham." And so God healed him right then. And then I think Brother Branham was fixing to step away because he felt the presence of the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to him and says, "Now," and said, told him about his mother, said, "She's what she looked like, how old she was." And said, she showed you before you come and said, "If you see Brother Branham, ask him to pray for my feet." And she rolled down her stockings and showed him the tumors that were there. And so, Brother Branham said that she's healed. She's healed also. And so about that time, the presence of the Lord come upon Brother Branham, and he told all the brothers, he said, "Now hide." He said, "Get down, get under something, hide, get away." He said, "Don't, just get down, get away, get covered up." And so, and the brothers were confused, you know, they're like, what's going on? He said, just go now, quickly, fast as you can. And so Brother Branham just took off his hat and he stood there and waited on the presence of the Lord. And so that's where we're picking up at. And so I just started walking around. I put my shovel down and turned around. I took my hat off, and here he come. The glory of God falling in a whirlwind that tore the side of the mountain out like that. Just this rounded area like a horseshoe, just cut it out all the way around. And rocks was just going everywhere. And that's why he was telling them to hide. Seeing it blasted and shook like that and cut the top of the branches out just about 3 or 4 or 5 feet above my head. And it went back up like a funnel like that, and it blasted again, and here it comes, see, 3 times. I think it blasted 3 times out of the mountain. And then when it left the 3rd time, Brother Banks come over and he said, "That's what you was talking about." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "What was it? See, what was it?" And I said, "God appears in whirlwinds." See? And Brother Branham said, "See, I didn't know whether the Lord wanted me to tell him or not. I just went on and I prayed a little bit, and then he told me that I could tell them." And I said, "It's judgment striking the West Coast. Look at her today. Huh? Look at what happened a few hours after that." It was like 3 days. 3 days after that, there's some very rough it wasn't video in those days, but it was film. There was some very rough filming in those days. It wasn't a lot, but there was some that was taken of the earthquake and the how the water went out of the bay. The ships went down and hit the ground. You got probably seen some of that stuff, brother. And so it was judgment striking the West Coast. And so that's what happened. So Brother Branham said, "And now the whole thing is going under." See? We're entering into the judgment. Mercy has been spurned. So now he's bringing it to our day. Elijah was bringing it to his day. Different prophets were bringing it to their day. But now it's here. It's here. And the prophet has declared it. And so just as he declared that judgment upon the nations, not just America, upon the nations for rejecting God, because that's what was happening. The gospel came from the east. It was traveling country to country to country. And every country it came through, it got the elect, and then they rejected it. They formed some organization. They did something else. So the whole time it was picking up the elect, it was being rejected by the nations. And so now here we are at the West Coast. It was finished. It's done. This is the last of it. And now judgment striking the West Coast. See, the same as Elijah's day. But paragraph 121, "But thanks be to God, we've got hidden food. Spiritual food that we're living on the goodness and mercy of the revelation of Jesus Christ in these last days." See? vindicating himself among his people. See, praise be to God. And think, now you remember the quote where Brother Branham said that this is a relaxing time? He said, this is a relaxing time. Elijah wasn't working. Elijah wasn't trying to get his food. Elijah wasn't trying to get his water. He wasn't trying to get anything. He didn't have to do anything. He was being fed.
Amen.
By the hand of God, Elijah was being fed. And brother, sister, that's where we're at now. The prophet's gone. The work is finished. He had to plow the ground. He had to plow it deep. He had to break into these denominations. He had to get rid of this theology. He had to get rid of these traditions. He had to get rid of all of that stuff now.
Amen.
And now it's all been revealed. Now it's all been broken open. And now that spiritual food, it's here for us now.
Right.
We have it. And we don't have to work for it. It's just given to us.
Amen.
We're just blessed by the hand of God to be able to enjoy these things, to drink of the Spirit, to drink of the presence of God, and to eat on these spiritual things.
Amen.
We're blessed. So God providing the way, see? So they went in. Elijah went in before the drought set in. See, thank God. Wait, let me go back. Let me back up because I want to read that again. Vindicating himself among his people.
Amen.
Amen. See? That's what God has done today. God has vindicated his presence among us today. And a lot of people, they didn't realize what was taking place. We didn't realize. I didn't realize. We were so far into this thing. Actually, the prophet was gone. The prophet was finished with his message. And he was gone for years and years and years. It was like in the 70s. I think the revelation of two souls came out in the early 70s. Would you say, brethren? Something like that. Paul Jones was one of the first ones. I think he might have been the first one on that one. But there was maybe, I don't know many around, I don't know around the world, but maybe a half a dozen. I know there was a handful of men in America that were just studying the message. And Paul Jones was one of them. And I stayed in brother's house, or the associate pastor's house, one time in Ohio, and he had a copy of all of Brother Jones's books. And I'm telling you, and those days, it was either a portable typewriter, that was before electric, it was before computers, before any of that stuff. And he just had books and books and books of these binders of, I don't know if some of them was handwritten, some of them was typed up, but he had just dozens of books. And in those days, it was, you said, it wasn't like now, we're so blessed. We can just pop a word in there and search it out in a few minutes and have so much so quickly.
Yes,
and so, but those brothers, those things, you look, the prophet, he left in 65. And so sometime in the 70s, these things begin to open up, and it continued and it continued and it continued. And there are some things, some of these mysteries that we didn't know about. At least I didn't know about, but in the last 10, 20 years. And so, and there's no doubt much more still laying there. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
We don't know. But when we think we know it all, we know then we've messed up. Because I know for a fact that there's so much I don't know. And there's so much I want to know. And so I don't have that illusion. But the one thing that we have, he has vindicated himself among his people.
Yes, sir.
He's vindicated himself. He's proved it. He's manifested it. I think, and it makes me think, my wife has a woman that does her hair every so often. And so she was there today. And so this woman, she loves to talk about the message. She goes to another church here locally. And so she just, they have some fellowship in the Word. So today she was talking about, I hope you don't mind this, but anyways, the woman was talking about somebody that she was witnessing to, and they weren't coming into the message exactly, but they were a really good person. And so she was hoping that they would come in as a foolish virgin. And so So she's just talking. Usually they're just talking back and forth. And so she stopped and she told Rhonda, she said, "You've got quiet on me. What's wrong? What did I say?" And she said, "Well," she said, "there ain't no foolish virgins today." And so the woman was just kind of looked a little baffled. And Rhonda said, "Christ is here. He's here. He's come." And so it just made her pause for a minute. And she said, "Yes, he's here." And it's like, you're convincing yourself, you know. In other words, you've said it. You've talked about it. But, or maybe you hadn't said it. Maybe you just heard it and you've kind of believed it. And you heard the preacher say it and you said, yeah. But you never really confessed it. You never really were so convinced yourself that you would speak it out and say, "Christ is here." Because there's too many people that take that just means a fleshly body, and until they see that fleshly body, Christ is not here. But that's the lack of revelation. The revelation is that Christ is here, and you know what form that he's in, and you know what body that he's living in. You know how he's here and where he is. You know because he's in you. And so, that I thought it was beautiful when she's telling me that, and I thought, praise God. And so the woman is like, "Yes, he's here." And said she paused again in a minute. She said, "Lord Jesus, give us revelation." And I said, that's the best thing she could have said. Yeah. I don't know anything better that she could have said than that.
Right.
"Lord, give us revelation."
Amen.
She's just confessing that she don't have that revelation. She's heard it. Intellectually, she believes he's here. But she didn't have the revelation of it. And that's what's wrong in the message kingdom today. There's too many. They're saying things because the preacher said it or somebody else said it or they're just thinking it. But when it's a revelation, you're going to be able to speak it. You're going to be able to talk about it. Your life is going to act that out. That's going to be a part of your spiritual understanding. When you talk about this message, you don't talk about it in the sense that he's coming someday. No, you don't. The bride is talking about him because he's here. Because she knows he's here. And she knows how that he's here. She understands that. That's the greatest revelation. It's just the greatest thing because it's Christ in you. Praise God. So, this thing, Elijah didn't have to work for it. Elijah was just there in the presence of what God had prepared for him. And he's being fed, the water's flowing, everything's going well. And then God is ready for a change. God is ready for a move. So how does God move you? A little troubles, a little persecutions, a little hard times. So, "Lord, I'm out of water. I gotta have some water." Let's move. Let's go. Let's see what God says.
Amen.
Picking back up in the scripture here now. This is in 17:8, 1 Kings. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath." I don't know that's the best I can do. "Which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." So he's told him exactly where to go. And he wants him to go there and dwell. And he said, "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And this, to me, is just beautiful. It's just beautiful wording. To me, it's even a revelation. Because this woman don't have anything but one cake.
Right.
And even they're having a hard time getting water. And I didn't realize this earlier, because the water, it was also getting sparse. And so you remember just after this, when Elijah did when he gathered all the prophets together, the 400, the 450, and they built the altar, and God answered by fire. Well, you remember what he'd done? They filled all those barrels of water. All those barrels of water and dumped them on there. Well, that was going to make this supernatural thing greater, but it also, this was the time when water was getting short. And so it wasn't a good time to be wasting water. But the one who could create water was the one telling him to do it. And so here he's sending him down here to another place because there's a problem. And he's telling him that he has commanded a woman, a widow woman, to, what's the word? Sustain him? Yeah. Yeah, it says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, this sounds like this is going to be like some hotel and got plenty of food and plenty of water and plenty of luxuries and nice place to stay. And this woman's going to take care of everything. This woman's got everything that he needs. That's what he's making it sound like. I command her to sustain thee. And then the more I thought about this thing, the more I thought about the bride. That's exactly what's happening. That prophet went there to sustain her by the supernatural hand of God. And that bride was going to take care of him. That bride was going to cook for him and bring him something to drink and take care of whatever needs that he had. And that's exactly what the bride's doing. It's the supernatural hand of God today. Amen. That is supplying this food. And it's the bride is serving him. That's what he said. There's some quotes out there, some really good quotes out there. I hadn't looked at them in a while, but it's just coming to my mind that's what we're doing. We're serving him as we serve one another. And you think about what we talked about recently about entertaining angels unaware and how that the bride has a ministry and how that you are those angels serving God and serving one another. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, this woman, God had commanded her that she's going to say. Now, it doesn't say what she had, a vision, a dream, or what she had. And all she had was one cake. Okay? Just enough oil to cook that cake, and that was it. And so she was going to look for the sticks. And so he arose and he went. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her. So I don't know how he recognized her. I guess maybe he's seen her in the vision. It didn't matter. She's the first one he came to. And God has a way of bringing you to the right one. And so sometimes you think, well, you don't know. God gets you the person that is going to relate it just right. It's like Brother Gumba said so many times about everyone has their gift. Everyone has their ministry. And also, he knows you. He knows your personality. He knows just how to get it across to you. And so sometimes it's different than what we want or what we think. Brother Gumba and I used to, I wouldn't say we joked about it, but we talked about it. How that, you know, even in Kenya, there was some animosity sometimes to white people. And so we talked about, you know, if you really despised white people, and let me say it's understandable because of the colonization and because of the things that they went through, same problem in India, different places. And so, and actually we had a problem with the same white people you had a problem with. So we're understanding exactly how you was feeling. And so it's not about color. We got away from them too. And so, but now they're our friends and they're allies. And I hope they're Kenya's too. I hope they're paying back some of that. But anyways, so, if that's your attitude and you have a problem so much with a white man or with a black man, then that might be the one that God sends to you. Right. So if you don't like black people, that and you're a seed now, and you're a seed, see, you haven't had that new birth yet, then it might just be that God's going to send you Brother Gumba. Right. He's going to send a man down there that is going to make you surrender, that's going to make you humble yourself. Because when we put ourselves up here, See, the same as a black minister in Kenya. If he just despises the white man, that might be just the man that God's going to send to him.
Yes, sir.
That's right. God has a way. God has a way.
Amen.
And you can't beat God's way. God's going to get us right in position where he wants us to be.
Yes,
and I just thank God for that. See? So he arose and he went. And when he got to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she went to fetch it, he called her again and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but just a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a curse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." She was at the end. God's deliverance is always right there, isn't it? It's always right there, right at that moment of the most need. You think, when you think you're finished, when you think you're done, you think you're going to die now or whatever. There's no hope. God specializes in that because there's nothing too big and there's nothing too small for God. He is a God of miracles. He is a creator of heavens and earth. And so one of the places, Brother Branham, he talked about this many places about Elijah and the widow woman. And in one of the places, he said it like this. She was only holding on to one thing. One thing. That's all she had. Just the one thing. And he was putting it in in a type of us. Have we surrendered all to him? She's had it. She didn't have to surrender. It's just all been taken away. She didn't have nothing. She's just dependent on God.
Amen.
But she's got this one cake, this one little bit of meal here, just a little bit, not even a whole cake, that she's got left. And now God is testing her to see if she's willing to give up the last thing she has, that little bit, that little bit. Are we there? Are we at that point where it's a full surrender? That our lives is a full surrender to God? That we're not holding back anything, but we got one purpose in our life, and that's full service to God. Full service, obedience to the Word of God. If Christ is on the inside, then it's full obedience. Because it can't be anything, it can't do anything else. That's the nature. That's the nature that's been birthed in you. That's eternal life living in you. He said she's only holding on to one thing. And she was going to have to prove that she was willing to give that. And she did. She gave it all. She gave her water. Praise God. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son." Are we there? Are we fully surrendered? Are we there? "For thus saith the Lord." And this is the glorious part. This is where your life turns around. This is where God's deliverance, God's redemption comes to you, personally to you, to take care of that thing that you've suffered over, that you've anguished over, that you thought was not fixable. God comes on the scene. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Praise be to God. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Yeah, the famine had went on, I don't know for how long. It wasn't long after this that the rain came back, but many days. That's the scripture. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, and neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Amen. Praise be to God. Yeah, this is now back in the message of spiritual food in due season. And after the drought was about over, he called him out of there, down to a widow's house. Notice, he called to this widow's house, and this widow had not associated herself with the unbelievers. Huh? She was separated from the things of the world. See, took the mark of the beast. She separated from those people. See, got out of those denominations, got out of those things. See, those that had took the mark of the beast during the drought. So he called her out, called Elisha to sustain this widow. See, they just had one little cake, one little thing that she was holding on to. See, and Elijah said, give that to me first. For thus saith the Lord, the barrel will not go empty, neither will the curse run dry, until the day the Lord God sends rain upon the earth. Putting God first. Amen. His word first. Amen. And that's the thing. Brother Bram talked about the meal offering. He talked about the meal and he said that meal represented Christ. He said it represented Christ. And he said that when that meal, that grain was ground, he said those burrs that ground that meal, he said they had to be perfect. Because the meal had to be completely the same. There couldn't be no lumps. It had to be completely ground exactly the same. And he said that was Christ representing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the scripture is perfect. The scripture is always perfect. It don't matter where you find it. It always goes all the way through exactly. See, notice there was meal in the barrel. And every time she went after meal, there was meal in the barrel. And there was oil in the curse every time she went for it. Why? The meal represented Christ in the meal offering. So Christ is the Word. Amen. So there was the meal represented the Word, and the oil represented the Spirit. And she was mixing it together, and it was sustaining her life in the natural as it sustains our life in the spiritual. And so that's the difference. And Brother Branham, he talked about that many times. He said, there are those that have the Spirit. And he said, they are happy and they shout and they dance and they carry on and they're anointed and they got great preachers and they have a good time and they make a lot of noise and all of that. And he said, they don't have no revelation of the Word. And he said, they have a lot of word and they have a lot of theology. They have an intellectual faith. He said, but they don't have any spirit to put that word into action. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference in the bride. She's able by the presence of God to put the spirit and the word together and make it live. And she can't do that. He has to do that. Amen. He's the one doing it. See, so is it today, friends? Huh? Let me back up here. Every burr of this meal exactly the same, showing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was the word, the bread of life, following the message to vindicate the word. Praise God. How he vindicates over and over and over again. Amen. Brother Branham, he talked about, was reading the scripture this morning, he was talking about the law of God in Genesis. He said, every seed will bring forth of its kind. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. And he said, when the Spirit of God comes upon that seed, it brings forth of its kind. And he said, so we think of that in a lot of different ways, but he explained it like this sometimes. He said, Malachi 4 is the word of God. And he said, that's a seed. And he said, when the Spirit of God came upon Malachi 4, it brought forth of its kind. It brought forth the manifestation of what it was. And he started naming off the scriptures. Revelations 10, John 12, all these different ones, one after another, one by one by one, said every seed bringing forth of its kind. Not having one and making it something else.
Amen.
That's against the law of God.
Yes, sir.
It's no seed is going to bring forth anything other than what it is.
That's right.
it just can't do it. And that's where the message gets mixed up sometimes. And when preachers try to do that, when you try to take it and make it something different, and it won't work. It's never worked. From Genesis to Revelation, it's never worked. And you're never going to get it to work.
Yes, sir.
That seed is going to bring forth of its kind. It's spiritual food in due season. It's the seed coming forth in the age that God ordained for it to manifest in.
Amen.
You've never seen that blade of corn come up out of the ground and have the ear corn on it. You've never seen it.
Right.
It's got to go through the stages. That's not the season. You don't see it come up and there'd be a grain of corn there or two or three grains of corn there and that little leaf and that little blade. It's not going to do it. It's never done it. It's never going to do it.
That's right.
It's got to come in its season. It's got to come in its time. And God is the one who He timed. That's why Brother Branham said Luther could not bring forth these mysteries. Wesley could not bring forth these things that you are seeing today. The food that you're eating today, they couldn't do it. And then some people get it confused. And I hate to keep referring to that. But they got it confused with Pentecost. And they thought Pentecost was it. And they thought that Pentecost was the manifestation of it. It was not. It could not bring forth this revelation.
That's right.
It could not bring forth the presence of God in its entirety.
Amen.
And that's the difference.
Yes, sir.
That was in portion in Luther and Wesley and Pentecost, but then in its entirety. That's the word the prophet used. That was one of the words that he used. In its entirety, he's here.
That's right.
So is it today, paragraph 125. So is it today, friend. So is it today. That the bread of life that the children eat on follows the message of God to sustain them during the time of the drought. And what if He stood in our presence today? What if He stood in our presence right now? He could just say, we can say He was standing in their presence.
Yes, sir.
He was standing in their presence then. See? To sustain them. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep losing my place here. We're at 125. The bread of life that the children eat on follows the message of God to sustain them during the time of the drought. What if He stood in our presence today? What if He stood in our presence right now? He would act and do exactly like He'd done in the days when He was here, when He was in flesh here on earth. The bride is a part of the husband. And the church is the same as Christ.
Amen.
Think what He's saying now. He's putting it together. He's identifying her. He's identifying the presence of God today. That the presence of God was incarnate in the man, William Branham.
Yes.
That was God in a man.
Amen.
Bringing to you the token, the manifestation of the token, and getting to the people, getting them to recognize that God that was being waved over the people in that man is the same God that's living in you to do the same things that He did in that man. That's what He was trying to get to you. That these things are for you. You think how many times He referred to the scriptures. The works that He did will you do also. He didn't stop saying that at the end of Pentecostal age.
Right. Right.
He didn't quit saying that.
Yeah.
He continued to say that in a greater and greater way, with leaving the emphasis there, putting more emphasis on it. The works that He did will you do also.
Amen.
That's not just healing and raising the dead. That is believing the whole Word. That's recognizing that He and the Father were one and the same.
Amen.
That's what He was doing. That was the works. The works of my Father I must do. I can't do anything. I don't do anything till I see Him do it.
Right.
And so we don't do anything until He reveals to us. And that's what He said in the Church Ages book. That she will have thus saith the Lord or she will be quiet.
Yes, sir.
And when he reveals something to her, she's going to say it. She's going to manifest it. She's going to do it.
Amen.
Satan can't stop this. Satan's got the whole world. And all hell is against this.
Yes, sir.
But all hell can't stop this.
That's right.
Because this is a revelation that Satan cannot overcome. This is the revelation that's living in a body, a living body, a bride made up of every kindred and tongue and nation. Everyone.
Amen.
Christ in his body today. Praise be to God. I'm closing. Just going to read one more. One more. See, the bride is a part of the husband, and the church is the same as Christ. The works that I do shall you do also. And it is the word that done it. See? The works that I do shall you do also. And it is the word that done it. He told us that the things that he did, that we would do also.
Amen.
Now, you can't say that you believe one part of it and you don't believe another part of it.
Right.
This bride believes in the supernatural. This bride believes that all things are possible. This bride believes that if you ask in his name, believing that you will have it, you will have it.
Right.
Now, that's what he said.
Right.
And you don't go around just saying, I want this and I want that. No, you want the will of the Father.
Amen.
And when you speak, you're going to speak it by revelation.
Yes, sir.
Because when you say it, you're going to get it. So you got to know it.
That's right.
A revelation is the substance. It's the substance. It's knowing that it's yours.
Yes, sir.
It's knowing that you already have it before you have it.
Amen.
That the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
The problem is many times they're just hoping for it.
Right.
They don't have the substance
mm-hmm.
of it. They're just really hoping that it'll happen. We've all been there. We've been there. We may be there some more times. But God's going to perfect this thing in his wife.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because he's the perfection. And that's where it's coming from. If we say something amiss on our own, that's on us. But God he is doing that. He's bringing this thing to the climax of the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his wife. Paragraph 126. Now notice here again, if the word is in us and has come to us as it did Elijah in that day, it'll do the same thing that he did. He would feed on the secret things of God, which is hid from the world. Oh, again, it makes the message and the messenger as one. Huh? The message and the messenger. So as the message and the messenger was one in Moses, the message and the messenger was one in Elijah, the message and the messenger was one in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The message and the messenger was one in William Branham.
Yes, sir.
Now he said it's the same in you.
Yes.
The message and the messenger, it is you and the message becoming one.
Amen.
You can't separate it. You are the messenger today. God, you are the body of Jesus Christ today. That's the thing that we've got to realize. I can remember one time years ago, a man come to my house. I was standing in my front door right over there. And he started telling me about a man that he believed was the one chosen man that God had called to bring the message today. Not talking about the prophet, but a man that was preaching this message and that he was the one. And I said, brother, I said, if what you're saying is true, that makes that man responsible to take this message to the whole world. And I said, that's not where I see it.
Amen.
Where I see it is in a body. It's in a body. And God is using the body to take it to the whole world.
Right.
God's not the one man ministry. There's one gift to the age.
That's right.
There's just one gift to the age. And that gift was in the man, William Marion Branham.
Amen. That's right.
And from William Marion Branham, that went into the ministry of the bride.
That's right.
Might disagree with me. I'm sorry. But that's what the prophet said.
Yes, sir.
You follow it up in the Church Ages book. He said, God raises up a messenger to the age. And he said, from that messenger, it goes into the ministries of other men.
That's right.
And so he didn't say it goes from one man to one man.
Right.
He never said that.
Amen.
You don't see that in the Bible.
Amen.
It always comes to one man. And from that one man, it goes into the ministries of others. That's how it's always been. There's only one gift to the age. And when another gift comes, then it's going to be identified in the Scripture.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, we didn't know there was going to be any angels. We didn't know there was the first angel, little known the seventh angel.
Right.
But when the seventh angel come, he identified all the other angels. He identified all of them.
Yeah, right.
And he identified himself.
Right.
And he told us the next messenger was going to be Jesus Christ himself.
That's right.
So if you want a one-man ministry, that was it. That was the final. That was the capping. That for those who understood that Christ had come, that was the difference. That people were looking to take you back to Pentecost.
Yes.
They were looking to take you back to another messenger.
Right.
Another ministry that was going to finish for what the prophet did. Well, that had to happen, but it wasn't going to be in another man.
Right.
It was going to be in the body, because it was going to be Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
I don't know how I got on this. This was not planned, but I'm just telling you.
Good.
The eighth messenger, if you want to have one, is Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
So in every age, there was a messenger, all seven. So I guess you could say, he said we're in the eighth day, so your eighth messenger is Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And I don't have any quotes to do that. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you we do have this. We know we're in the eighth day. We have the future home. So there's not another man, not as an individual. It's now a many-member thing.
Yes.
You have to go back and see that this was his purpose. This was his purpose that he was working on. Go back to Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This was his eternal purpose. To have a bride, a many-membered body, that he was going to dwell in and bring forth this message. Not some... And Brother Branham said, why doesn't it go out in these big places, these big churches, these big things? He said, it's not for them. He said, it is for this little humble bride to just walk along day by day in humility, feeding on the secret things. And somewhere you'll bump into somebody and you'll say something. Somewhere you'll be somewhere, your hairdresser, and you'll say, he's here.
Amen.
And it'll shake them up and they'll say, yeah, he's here. Oh God, give me the revelation. That's a really good sign. I just don't know a better sign that you could have. I don't know nothing better you could have said. God, give us revelation. Give us revelation. Praise be to God. I'm just going to stop right there. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. And I ask God to, I don't know how to say it, to fire me up. I don't want to get stagnant. I want God to kindle a fire in every heart.
That's right.
In every heart. Don't let us slow down. Don't let us get stagnant. Don't let us get lazy. Let us get fired up for God, for this revelation.
Amen.
Brother Gumbo was telling me the other day that he's working on trying to go back to Pakistan, and so they're trying to have a minister's meeting there, and he said they're talking about trying to bring in a couple hundred ministers there, and they're claiming they're in the message, and that's all good, And as much as they know, they are. And so, but he wants to introduce to them. He wants them to see that Christ is here. He wants them to see these mysteries. He wants to just bring them up a little higher. That's what the Spirit will do. Amen. The same thing that spoke and told John to come up higher, that same thing is in you, trying to bring people up higher. The same thing. Amen. It's the same thing. And so I thank God for that fire. I thank God building that fire in him to get those things out. Amen. And so we want to be in prayer for him, and we want to support him in every way. And we want to support each one. We want to be in prayer for one another, that as God puts us in that position to speak to somebody, that he'll give us. We don't have to be all have it all planned out. No, he'll give it to us in the moment. He'll give it to us right then when you need it. And you'll go away thinking, man, I'd have studied more. I wish I'd have did this more. No, he's going to have you say just the right thing. You might have said too much. You might have said something else if you had it all planned out. He's going to do it just right. That's right. You can be sure.
Amen.
Praise God. Brother, come. Come. Let us stand together. God bless
you. Thank you very much. God bless you. That was a good service. That's a good sermon. The spiritual food in the due season, and that's what we are eating, that's what we have. That's very good. One of the things that really is good, and I like it. I like the way Brother Don comes here, and he's free. He's not stuck in a certain way. He's free. He just talks like that last part was not planned. I don't think he planned it. That's good, brother. That's good. And one of the things is about what Elijah told that woman. That was very hard on her. That was very hard on her.
Yes.
But it's only one that is remaining. But go and make that one. Don't eat. It's the only one that were eating so that they die. Don't eat it. Don't give your son. Bring it to me. That sounded like a bit selfish.
Telling a mother that. Don't give the son.
Don't give the son. Give it to me. Mm-hmm. A grown up, so that I eat. And then that was quite something. But that is what God requires. You serve him first.
That's right. Amen.
No, that's right. With your money, with your life, with your everything, him first.
Amen.
That was God. That was God.
Yes.
It was that says the Lord, but it will never. He was happy. It was God speaking now. And now, would you be able to do that? Him first. Whether you're going to die, he's going to take care of the rest of it. If you give him past, I'm not going to talk about tithes and this, but even tithes, just give him past, give him that, give him the that. You might be that is the only thing you're supposed to pay, maybe a certain loan or something, but that's giving first.
Amen.
You take care of the rest.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
That's really when I read that and when I see the poet saying that, that touched me. And giving first. Whatever it is, your life. Right now, I was getting out to see my son is sick a bit. And he got sick in school, and then I thought he's not very bad. And then when we were coming here, I told my wife, no, you got to go, because the devil is like that. Every time we want to go to serve him, here he comes. And if you let him, he got worse, and now I think the sugar came up and like that.
Oh, see,
I got out to speak to her. I didn't get her, but she sent me a message. But that's okay. But my point is, just give yourself to him fast.
Amen.
Give yourself to him fast. And Amen. Just stay there. Stand still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. The other thing brother said is, brother, you don't know the kind of demons that you're bringing down by those statements you're saying. We don't have one man in ministry.
That's right.
That thing is, brother, that thing is not right. That thing is a wrong doctrine that has been taught people, not only here, everywhere. Everybody comes up because the prophet is gone. they put themselves there. I said, no, we don't have that, brother. We don't have that. We have the bride. Jesus Christ is in the bride. That's right. That's where he's at. And we have one man ministry, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the bride.
Amen.
The bride and the bridegroom has become one. And
Amen.
That's right. Whatever you do, whatever you're alive. Your life is preaching. Whatever you do, your life is preaching. And you know, I was saying the other day that actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
Actions speak. You're alive. The way you talk, the way you walk. You have a trumpet. When you walk with your wrong dress, along the road like that, that's a trumpet. You're telling everybody in Hickory, and everywhere, here, Jesus Christ has come. You're saying that without knowing it.
Yes.
And that's it. And those things are very, very good. And that is really, that's really. Thank you, Father, for the spiritual food, Lord God, in the bride today, Father. That, Lord God, you cannot find anywhere else. You said it's hidden from the wise and prudent, Lord, those who search and do things like that. But you've revealed it to us, Lord God, we who are maybe unworthy to the standards of the world, Lord. But you found it worthy, Lord God, to reveal these things to us and to feed us. Lord God, we are so thankful for that. Continue, Father, helping us to surrender and give ourselves to you much more, Lord God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.